It's great to have you guys here today. There are some verses of Scripture that are just so comforting to me, so encouraging, so reassuring. Like when Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." I mean, to be able to experience Jesus' peace in my life, wow. That's just powerful. At another point, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." And you're tired, you're worn out, you're exhausted. Jesus said, "Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." At another point, Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it to the full." He wants to give us a full, abundant, meaningful life. That's the life he has for us. Man, there are just some of these scriptures that are in some of the statements that Jesus made. They're just so incredibly, incredibly comforting and inspiring and encouraging and just motivating to me in my life. And then there are others. They're just so challenging. And I just find myself kind of, just wanting to kind of squirm and argue with God. Like, that's just crazy. I mean, there's no way. I mean, I can't do that. Nobody can do that. And it's like, God, you don't understand my situation. You don't understand what's going on in my life. And I have a feeling today that some of the scriptures that we're going to look at today are going to be scriptures that make most of us here kind of squirm a little bit. And you may even find yourself wanting to kind of argue with me internally in your mind. And you may get a little flustered, a little upset, even frustrated. I mean, some of you may actually want to get up and walk out to today. And if you're here and you're not a church person, or you're coming back and kind of checking out the church, the God, the whole Jesus thing. I mean, this may frustrate you, what you hear. I mean, it may frustrate you so much. You just want to blow off everything that God says in Scripture, because it's like, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's just so unrealistic. I want you to know, I'm with you. I understand where you're coming from. I mean, I struggle living this out in my own life. I really do. But here's what I believe with all my heart. I believe that following the ways of Jesus is the best way there is to live. Now, you don't have to believe that. But I really do. I believe that following Jesus and his ways, doing life his way, that it is the most rewarding, it is the most fulfilling, the most energizing, it is the healthiest way there is to live. And yes, man, there are scriptures, there are truths, there are principles in God's word that are challenging and that kind of rub us the wrong way, and we're going to want to push back on some of those things. But I am absolutely convinced, even though I don't always get them right, that's for sure, but I am absolutely convinced that the best way to live is aligning my life with the ways of Jesus. Now, last week we looked at a scripture. It's a verse that is actually the theme verse for this whole series, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And what it does, it clarifies, makes it crystal clear that God wants us to live our lives doing good. He wants to do good in life. Look at this. We're going to throw it up here on the screen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork," and that word "handiwork" there is also translated in the Greek, in the original language, at times as "masterpieces." So we are God's handiwork, or we are God's masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And there are, there are all kinds of ways to do good. And last week we talked about some specific ways that we can do good in just everyday life. Any of us can do that, do this. And we talked about one of the ways to do good is just being kind. I mean, we're just nice to people around us. When we encourage people, when we support people, serving people is a way that we can do good to people, helping people out in their life. Listening to people, building people up, helping people bloom and soar and become the masterpieces that God made them to be. I mean, those are all ways that we can do good in life. But before we go any further even on this, I want to remind you that our goodness, however, isn't what's going to get us into heaven. You see, somewhere along the line, a lot of people have picked up this notion, the idea that good people go to heaven. We talked about this in the first message in this series, and we clarified something that for some of you may be kind of a shocker, but we clarified that the Bible doesn't teach, and Jesus never taught, that good people go to heaven. And if that's what you've been kind of banking on, then understand, you may continue to believe that, but understand that that's not what the Bible teaches. And we looked at multiple reasons why this whole good people go to heaven theory really doesn't even make sense, and it just falls apart at the least little bit of scrutiny. So it's not, the Bible doesn't teach that good people go to heaven. What the Bible actually teaches is that forgiven people go to heaven. So please understand that. But God does want us to live our lives doing good. He wants us to live. We were designed to do good. And so what I want to do today is I want to talk about a different angle, a different way that we can do good. And this may be the most difficult, in fact, maybe the most challenging way to do good that there is. We're talking about, what do we do when people hurt us? What do we do when people wrong us? How do we handle it? What do we do when people are mean, when people are hurtful to us? And most likely, as we get into this and we start looking at these scriptures and these principles from God's word, you're going to push back, and this is going to kind of go against the grain for you, because this isn't what you would typically want to do. And this probably isn't even typically what some of the friends that you have and family members would even advise you and encourage you to do. But this is the extreme goodness that God challenges us to live out in our lives. And when we follow Jesus, the Jesus way, in this area of our lives, what it will lead to is less stress and less bitterness and resentment and greater inner peace and healthier and stronger relationships in our marriage, in our family, in our friendships, and in all the areas of our life. So I want to look today at three different passages of Scripture. One is an actual quote from Jesus. One is from a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, and one from a letter that Peter wrote. So the first one is an actual quote from Jesus. If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn here to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 in the New Testament, one of the accounts of the life of Jesus, an actual quote from Jesus himself. Okay, you ready to jump in, ready to kind of squirm a little bit as we get into this? Here we go. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 27. Jesus says, "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies." I'm like, oh no. And then from there it goes on. It says, "Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." What it's basically saying, number one, if you're taking notes, is do good. We need to do good to those who wrong us. We need to do good to those who wrong us, to those who hurt us. And Jesus gives several ways here to do that. He starts out by saying, love your enemies. Now, what Jesus is getting at here is that we need to love everyone. Everyone. We need to love people that we like, and we need to love the people that we dislike. We need to love the people who we get along with and the people that we don't get along with. The people who are easy to love, the people who are difficult to love. We need to love the whiners, the gripers, the complainers. We need to love them. We need to love the people who are needy. We need to love the people who are mean, who are hurtful. He's saying, in essence, you need to love everybody. That's how we need to live our lives. And we can try to sugarcoat it, and we can try to twist what Jesus says and downplay it. Oh, no, it doesn't mean that. But the reality is, it's very straightforward. He wants us to love everyone. Now, this isn't like a guilt or a shame thing, you know, where you're such an awful, lousy, you know, despicable person if you don't love everyone in your life, even your enemies. I don't think that's the heartbeat at all that Jesus has here. I think what Jesus is trying to say in this passage of Scripture right here is he's trying to say, this is the best way to live. This is the best and the least stressful way to do life, to live your life, to build relationships, to deal with relationships, instead of hanging on to hatred and anger and resentment. What God wants is He wants us to experience His love, and then He wants us to be conduits of His love and of His goodness to others. Now, for some of you, when you hear this statement, love your enemies, like immediately names and faces that actually begin to like pop into your head. Now, maybe it's someone who betrayed you. Maybe it's someone who ripped you off. Maybe they ripped you off financially. Maybe it's an ex. Maybe it's someone who abused you. Or someone who took advantage of you. Took advantage of someone that you cared about, or who wronged someone that you care about. And I just want to say that I don't have any easy answers for what it looks like to love individuals who have hurt you and wronged you at that level. I really don't. But I do believe that carrying a load of love is a lot easier than carrying a load of hatred. And hopefully, what we talk about today will help you kind of take some steps to replacing what may be some anger and hatred and maybe even bitterness that you've been holding on to in your life, to go replacing that with love. Now, some of you may have seen this movie, Unbroken. It came out a few years ago. It was based on a biography by a World War II hero, who had served in the Pacific Theater. His name was Louis Zamperini. He was also an Olympic track star. But while flying out over the Pacific, his plane got shot down, and he ended up surviving in a raft, just drifting around the middle of the Pacific for 47 days. Finally, after 47 days, they were about to give up hope, and they're rescued. But they're actually rescued by the enemy. They're rescued by Japanese. They end up in a Japanese concentration camp, and in that environment, he's tortured, tormented, just brutal. What he goes through in that context. Finally, liberated, comes back to the United States, is married, but his life begins to crumble because he's just eaten up with the hatred and the anger towards his captors, towards the Japanese captors. He turns to alcohol. His marriage is on the verge of dissolving. He's on the verge of losing everything. When he comes face to face with Jesus, and he opens his heart and his life up to Jesus, and he experiences God's love and God's forgiveness. And as he experiences God's forgiveness, it allows him to replace the hatred and the anger that he had towards his captors with forgiveness towards them. And what it ends up doing is it ends up changing the whole trajectory of his life. That right there, that is the power of love. Now, while some of you may not have any like enemies per se that come to mind, my guess is that we all have people that we struggle with. You know, that we don't get along with. I mean, they're mean, they're insensitive, selfish, rude. I mean, some of them, they're just flat out jerks. But the bottom line here is that if we're to love our enemies, then we're certainly to love those who, you know, we may not actually consider to be enemies, but they annoy us. You know, they rub us the wrong way. And what's getting at, the bottom line is, he said we need to love everybody. So what does that mean? I mean, what does it look like to love people who are antagonistic towards people who have wronged us? Well, I don't think that it always means that we're going to be buddy with them. I mean, you look at the life of Jesus himself, and you don't see Jesus chasing after the religious leaders of his day who'd been like burrs under his saddle to try to chummy up with them. You see, sometimes to keep from getting hurt or abused or walked on or taken advantage of, we need to distance ourselves from certain people who are just difficult and mean-spirited and abusive in their lives. Sometimes for our own health, we need that. But even then, We can love people by praying for them. He goes on, and Jesus says, love your enemies. And he says, do good to those who hate you. When the opportunity arises, in that moment of decision, he's saying, choose to do good. Even when people wrong us, we need to choose. We need to make that choice in our life. We need to choose to do good. But man, whoa. I mean, you talk about something that's hard. I mean, I don't know about you, but for me, as I've said, man, when somebody wrongs me, when somebody takes advantage of me, when somebody does something to somebody that I care about, man, everything in me just wants to get back at him. I want to get even. I want to make things right in my life. But what Jesus is saying here is in that moment, do good. Do good to those who hate you. Maybe it's just being kind. Maybe it's just being nice to them instead of ignoring them, instead of being rude to them. Maybe it's congratulating for something that maybe they've accomplished in their life. Maybe it's poking your head into their office and just offering to get them a cup of coffee. Maybe it's something bigger. Maybe it's something smaller than that. It goes on. And so then Jesus says, bless those who curse you. Instead of using our words and actions to get back at people, to get even with people, it says what we need to do is we need to bless people. What we need to do is we need to do good for people. And we're going to talk a little bit more in just a little bit about what that looks like, what it means to be a blessing to others. Goes on and says, pray. Jesus says, pray for those who mistreat you. And we can love anybody by praying for them, but sometimes people are so mean and so abusive and so manipulative and derogatory, and it's just so unhealthy to be around certain people that the best and the most loving thing that we can actually do in certain situations is to just pray for them. Pray that they will experience a wake-up call in their life. Pray that they will repent and that they will see the relational damage that they're causing in your life and then probably in the lives of others. And I pray that God would soften their heart. Pray that they would get their life right with God. And pray that God would bring healing into their heart, their life, their very soul. Just think about it. What if they were to genuinely and sincerely open their lives up to Jesus and begin to follow Jesus? I mean, think of the difference that could make. You see, what we need to understand is that it's hurt people who hurt other people. Now, that's no excuse for the hurting that they may do, but understand that what drives individuals hurting you is because they are actually broken themselves. So pray. Pray that they would get honest with themselves and start dealing with the emotional baggage that may go, some of their brokenness. I mean, it may go all the way back to their childhood. Pray that God would bring people and circumstances into their lives that might help provide them with that wake-up call, that might help them make a turn in their life, to get their life back on track, to get headed and in the right direction. Pray for them. So Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. And we see that. We go, oh, man, that's hard. I don't know if I can do that. Yeah, it is hard. That's why we need Jesus. And we need to experience his love in our lives to be able to love in this way. I mean, anybody can love someone who's easy to love, someone who loves them. Anybody can be nice to someone who's nice to them. It's not so easy when somebody's hurt us, when somebody's wronged us. I mean, look at what it says just a few verses later in verse 32. Jesus says, if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. I mean, anybody can do that. That's what he's getting at. Verse 33, and if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Again, anybody can do that. I mean, it's like big deal. Okay, whoop-de-doo. Anybody can do that. Even sinners do that. See, what Jesus is getting at here is he's saying there is a better way to live your life than just getting back at people or just loving and being nice to people who are nice and loving to you. What he's saying is we need to live our lives. The best way to live our lives is to do good even to those who wrong us. And the second truth that I want you to get is that we need to be peacemakers. We need to be peacemakers. And the second scripture I want to look at, this is from a letter the Apostle Paul writes to the Christians in Rome. In Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 17, it says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil." It goes on and says, "Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone." In other words, it's saying, don't try to get back at people. Don't try to get even with people. What you need to do is you need to take the high road. It goes on in verse 18 and says, "If it is possible," in other words, it's not always possible, but if it is possible, "as far as it depends on you, live at peace." And you might circle, underline, highlight those words right there. We're to be peacemakers. It says, "Live at peace with everyone." It goes on in verse 19. It says, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." Instead of trying to get even, instead of trying to get back at people, saying we need to leave that with God. I mean, he can deal with people a lot better than we can. I mean, he has a million different ways that he can deal with people. And we want to see the consequences, but you know what? There may be times where we see actually the consequences that individuals face. There may be times we don't see the consequences. But either way, we need to leave that in God's hands. What we need to do, our part, is just to trust God in that area. It goes on in verse 20. It says, "On the contrary," and it quotes an Old Testament proverb. It says, "If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink." It's saying do good, even to the person who has hurt you, even to the person who has wronged you. And it says, "In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head." Your goodness may make them aware of the ignorant, mean-spirited things that they've been doing and saying. It may be what God uses to provide them with a wake-up call to kind of bring them to their senses. And in verse 21, it says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." What a powerful concept. Don't allow the wrongs that you've experienced, don't allow the hurts, the hate, the evil to drive and define your life. We can actually overcome evil. We can overcome hurts, wrong that has been done to us. We can overcome it with good. The way to be a peacemaker is to overcome evil with good. To choose to do everything possible. It's not always possible, but instead of stirring things up and instead of escalating any things, to choose to do everything that we can to be peacemakers. Now, on a small scale, we see this when maybe someone at work is kind of short or kind of rude with us. And yet in that moment, we choose not to be rude back, not to be short with them, and instead, we choose to be patient. We choose to be sensitive. We choose to be kind and encouraging. And you've probably experienced that because attitude is contagious. When you begin to treat people in a respectful way, in a positive way, a lot of times, even some of the grumpiest, some of the meanest individuals over time, they will begin to change. There will be a shift even in their attitude. It's the power of being a peacemaker. On a bigger scale, think of someone like Nelson Mandela, who was so instrumental in helping overcome racism and apartheid in South Africa by fostering racial reconciliation instead of trying to get back and trying to get even at people and a system that had kept him in prison for 27 long years. When he moved into power and became president, rather than trying to get back at him, he chose to be a peacemaker. And if we're going to be peacemakers in our lives, and we're going to overcome evil with good, at some point, it's going to take forgiving and extending grace. Look at the scripture, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." God's forgiveness and grace are just staggering. I mean, he forgives us for all of our faults, all of our flaws, all the dumb, idiotic, selfish, mean-spirited things that we've done. And if he's forgiven us for all of that in our lives, how can we not forgive those who wrong and hurt us? What God asks us to do is to forgive and extend grace in the same way that he has forgiven and that he has extended grace to us. Now, do we deserve God's grace? No. No, we don't. But that's what grace is. It's an undeserved gift. Do the people who have wronged and hurt us deserve our grace? No, they don't. They've wronged us. They've hurt us. They've caused pain in our lives. But we offer it because we are paying forward the grace and the forgiveness that we got from our Heavenly Father. You might want to write this statement down on your outline for taking notes. Forgiveness and grace keep bitterness, resentment, and anger from taking hold of a relationship and killing it. Forgiveness and grace keep bitterness, resentment, and anger from taking hold of a relationship and killing it. You see, if we're going to bend toward peace, even when we've been hurt or wronged, at some point we're going to have to make the choice to enter into the forgiving process. We've got to decide whether we're going to extend the same kind of forgiveness, the same kind of grace that God has offered us to others or not. We're going to have to decide. But you know what's interesting is that when we do dumb things, when we blow it, and we have sin in our lives, and then we do mean-spirited things and say things that are demeaning to people, we want God to forgive us. We want others to forgive us as well. A lot of times we don't want to have anything to do with forgiving them. But for our own sake, we need to forgive. If not, we're going to live poisoned by bitterness and resentment. And it affects everything. It affects our joy. It affects our peace. It affects the energy that we have in life. It affects our relations. I mean, it affects virtually every area of our lives. I'm telling you, it's not worth it. Here's another statement. You write this down. Grace is God-given, God-driven, and God-empowered. Grace is God-given, God-driven, and God-empowered. In other words, before we can give others grace and forgiveness, we've got to experience and own God's grace and God's forgiveness of us. Listen to this quote by Henry Cloud. He says, safe relationships are centered and grounded in forgiveness. When you have a spouse with the ability to forgive you for hurting him or her or letting him or her down, something deeply spiritual occurs in the transaction between you two. You actually experience a glimpse of the deepest nature of God himself. Being a peacemaker and forgiving is a powerful, powerful force. And number three, we need to refuse to get back at people. We need to refuse to get back at people. I mean, when somebody hurts us, I mean, our temptation is to want to get back at them, to want to get even with them, isn't it? And that's what I want to do. I mean, it's just instinctual for me. Somebody hurts me. Somebody badmouths me. Man, I want to turn around. I want to do the same thing. I want to give them a piece of my mind. But look at this scripture. This is the third scripture I want you to look at. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. Or I would add hurt with hurt or blaming with blaming. That's what we want to do, isn't it? Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil or hurts or wrong, selfishness, not with stooping to their level, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. So that you yourself may inherit a blessing. We need to take the high road and bless even those who have wronged us. We need to keep from escalating things. We need to stay away from all the mudslinging. Leave getting back at people to God. whether it's a spouse or an ex-spouse, an old boyfriend, old girlfriend, somebody at work, it's one of your family members, your dad, your mom, your stepdad or stepmom, your in-law, you know, whoever, an uncle, a cousin, whoever it may be, don't take it upon yourself to get even. Take the high road. As tempting as it may be, don't stoop to their level. Do the right thing. And I understand. I mean, I do. I know that it can be hard because everything in us is screaming out to want to get back at them. This isn't fair. This isn't right. Look at what they did to me. How many marriages have been deeply scarred because we failed to follow this principle right here? We kept raising our voices and blaming and griping. It's all your fault. You started. No, you started it. And sad to say, I've been there. And we escalate things and we push buttons and we say things that are hitting beneath the belt. And they say this and we say this and they say this and we say this and they say this. And it just keeps going and going and going. You know what it's like? It's kind of like slicing open a feather pillow on a windy day. You're standing outside, you slice this pillow open and feathers just go flying everywhere in the wind. And you can try all you want then to run around and gather up all these feathers. It's not happening. And after you've made the sarcastic, demeaning, short comments that you make, you can try all you want to take all that back. But you're not going to do it. All because we failed to take the high road. All because we wanted to get even. Because we wanted to put them in their place. You see, what it's getting at here is when someone wrongs you, when someone hurts you, when somebody says something bad about you behind your back, what it's getting at is don't do the same thing. If someone puts you down or somebody ridicules you, don't do the same thing to them. In fact, what it actually says is repay evil with blessing. And that little word blessing there means to speak well of, to praise, to make happy, to cause to prosper. And that's what the scholars tell us that word actually means. So we can pray a blessing on someone. It's one of the ways that we can bless someone. We can speak a blessing into them. We can bless somebody by serving them, by helping them, by giving them a helping hand. We can bless someone by encouraging them. We can bless somebody by giving them another chance. We can actually bless someone by forgiving them. And what if we actually started doing that? Think of the difference that would make in our relationships. This is, that's what we have been called to do. And when we do that, it says we will inherit a blessing ourselves. When we live that way, following the Jesus way, we will receive a blessing ourselves. You want God's blessing in your life? Don't repay evil with evil. Don't repay wrong with wrong or insult with insult or rudeness with rudeness or belittling comments with belittling comments, but rather repay it with a blessing. I think about it. What if instead of trying to find bad things to say about people who've said bad things about you, you tried to find good things to say about them? What if we tried to bless people with our words and with our actions? Now, that may not be easy. We might have to really, you know, rack our brains to do it. But what a powerful way to do good. Now, we don't want to lie, right? But what if instead of focusing on all their flaws and all their weaknesses, all the negative, dumb, irritating things that they do, what if we began to focus on their strengths and what they're good at? What if we started focusing on trying to be as positive and affirming as we can possibly be? You know, maybe it's somebody who's late all the time, but it's also someone who's incredibly generous. What if we start focusing on their generosity? Whether it's somebody that really doesn't have that good of people skills. I mean, they're constantly rubbing everybody the wrong way, but they're also incredibly diligent and hard workers. What if we start focusing on affirming the hard work that they do and how dedicated they are to the job? You see, we can either live our lives focused on the hurts and then the wrongs and the pain that we've experienced and all the injustices that we've been through and the bad things that people have said and done to us, and all we can live our lives focused on all the negatives, or we can take the high road and make the brave choice to forgive and bless even those who have wronged us. I'm going to wrap up and we're going to pray here in just a moment. But this week, choose to take the high road and bless even those who have wronged you. Make that choice. Choose. Take the high road and bless even those who have hurt you, even those who have wronged you. And what that may look like, maybe what that looks like is you moving into the process of forgiveness. Maybe somebody who hurt you way, way back in your life. What it may look like is you going and apologizing to somebody. And maybe somebody hurt you and wronged you. Maybe they hurt you and wronged you worse than you've hurt them. But there's a part of it that you need to own, and you know it. And you need to go to them and you need to say, not if I wronged you, but a real apology. And say, I know I wronged you here and here. And you own your part of it. Because we saw we need to do our part, all that we can, in making things right. Maybe instead of repaying insult with insult, you need to be nice. You need to be kind to someone. Take the high road and choose to bless even those who have hurt you, even those who have wronged you. And we decide to follow the Jesus way and begin to practice this extreme goodness that we are called to live out in our lives. You know what's going to happen at times? At times we feel like, man, but that's not fair, man. I feel like I'm giving up something because I want to get back at them. But the reality is that you will begin to live your life with less stress and less bitterness and resentment controlling and driving you. And you will be living with greater peace. And you'll experience stronger and healthier relationships. And you will be blessed by God Himself. Take the high road and choose to bless, choose to do good, even to those who have wronged you. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, our prayer is that you would help us replace the bitterness and the resentment and the desire to get back and even with people with the desire to be peacemakers. I pray that you would give us the courage to move into the forgiveness process. God, I pray that we would commit ourselves to overcoming evil and hurt and wrong with good, with a blessing. That we would take the high road. If you're here and you've never opened your life up to Jesus and experienced His forgiveness and His love, you need that to be able to offer this kind of love and this kind of forgiveness to others. And if that's you and you're tired of living with the bitterness, the resentment, the anger in your life and allowing that to just drive and control so much of your life, the hurts controlling you in your heart, why don't you just pray right where you are and say, God, I want your forgiveness and I want your love. Today, I'm placing my faith in Jesus and what He did by dying on the cross for me. I want to follow Jesus and His ways. God, give me the courage that I need to bless and do good even to those who have wronged me. And my prayer is that you would use us to do good in people's lives. I pray that we would take the high road and bless even those who have hurt and wronged us and extend your goodness and your love to them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.